I want to underline the verse 14 as our text this morning. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of. At our prayer meeting on Tuesday night past, we were thinking of a verse in Colossians, continue in prayer. And the thought struck me concerning the word continue. It's an interesting word and a very good exercise to take out a concordance. Perhaps some of you have a Bible with a brief concordance at the back of it. But if you haven't got one, you can get a concordance with all the words traced throughout the Bible. And if you look up the word continue, it's very interesting. We were thinking last Tuesday, continue in prayer and watch in the same. We think of other verses which speak of the word continue. We think of the words of the Lord Jesus in John 15, verse 9. He said, continue ye in my love. We think of John 8 and 31, where Jesus again said to his disciples, continue ye in my word. And we can think of Colossians 1 and 23, where we're told, continue in the faith. And where in Acts 14, Paul and Barnabas exhorted the Christians at Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch to continue in the faith. And again, we think of Paul before Agrippa giving his testimony, relating what the Lord Jesus had done for him. He said, having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great. And the word continue is often used in the scriptures. We think of Galatians 3 and verse 10, where a curse is pronounced upon those who do not continue. The apostle says, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. So this is an important word, and it's something we need to remember. You see, we live in days of change, don't we? There are swift changes taking place, not only on the world scene, but even in our beloved province. Changes are taking place swiftly, and the wheels of politics are being set in motion for further change. And sometimes it's done so deceptively that we hardly more than know that change is actually taking place. So there's change all around us, both in the political field and also in the religious sphere. Changes in the churches. Apostasy today is changing the once held great beliefs of fundamentalism. And churches that were once fundamental no longer believe those fundamental truths that they once stood for. And we see ecumenism today, and it's changing the whole face of religion. Everybody's a Christian nowadays. Christians and non-Christians, those who belong to Christian denominations, who are supposed to adhere to the Christian faith, along with those who belong to other religious organizations, are all going to heaven. And this synchronism is taking place, whereby they're fusing together all the religions of the world, as they say, traveling different paths but going to the same goal, and all ending up with God in heaven. Oh, what a conglomeration. Things are changing rapidly. There's change all around us. And for the Christian, such change is very dangerous. We've got to be made aware and warned. We must note the times and the seasons, as the scripture puts it, of spiritual developments and changes which are taking place, for failure to notice these, failure to take stock of these, will threaten even our own church, will threaten our own denomination, will threaten our very existence as adherents to Protestantism. Change. The verse says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of." That's the exhortation for our people today. That's the exhortation for us today. Because if we allow the changes to come, and perhaps they overtake us unawares, they will threaten the very purity of the church. They'll threaten the very well-being of the church and of the heritage which has cost us so dearly. Paul was anxious to have Timothy watch out for certain changes that would take place even in his day. And he spoke here to Timothy, and these words are prophetic as well as having an application to Timothy's day. They were prophetic for the church today, as for every succeeding generation. In verse 13 we read, "Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." Notice how things will get worse as the end time approaches. And I think none of us would doubt the fact that the end time is coming on. And the spirit of Antichrist is already abroad in our land and in the world. And already evil men and seducers are waxing worse and worse. We see men like Jerry Adams and John Hume, evil men deceiving and causing others to be deceived. And we see those in authority accepting deception and deceiving nations and deceiving our people. Oh, the days in which we live are waxing worse and worse. And my friend, if that's true in regard to the temporal and to the political, oh, it's true, isn't it, regard to the religious and the spiritual. Evil men have crept into the churches unawares. Evil men are seducing. Evil men are deceiving. Evil men are waxing worse and worse. And we can see the church leaders banding together, being photographed together, speaking as one voice, words of deception, which have the sticky slime of the serpent upon their very pronouncement. And oh, how we need to continue in the things which we have learned, and in the things which we have heard, and in the things which we have been assured of. And as this church was founded over 40 years ago, let us continue on the foundation upon which it began. Let us continue on the things we heard back in those days, for God hasn't changed. God's word hasn't changed. And God's ways haven't changed. And while men may change, and nations may change, and things around us may change, thank God Jehovah knows no change. Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. What men call improvements, advancement, progress, that's a common word today in many circles. Making progress in certain talks, religiously and every other way. Progressing in the ecumenical movement. Progressing to a settlement in Northern Ireland. Making progress, making headway. What men call advance or progress or improvement, God is calling here worse and worse. Worse and worse. Who'll contradict the statement this morning that the situation in Northern Ireland is not getting worse and worse? I'm sure there's not one would be bold enough to stand up and say, it's wrong. It's getting worse and worse. Who would contradict the fact that things in the churches are getting better? Men say they are. They're improving relationships. They're improving their get-togethers. But the Bible says it's getting worse and worse. Worse and worse. We need to be reminded, don't we, that we have to continue in the things which we have learned. And in the things which we have been assured of. Man may have tried to say things are improving, but things are getting worse. Spiritually, man is growing worse. Spiritually, man is depraved. And there's no knowing the depths of that spiritual depravity. It's like a bottomless pit, my friend. And the sins of men are getting worse and worse. It may be that maybe I'm speaking to somebody this morning and your life's getting worse and worse. Maybe your sinful habits are on the downgrade all the time. And you cannot save yourself. And my friend, your life's getting worse. Your drinking habits are getting worse. Your foul mouth is getting worse. Your blasphemies against the God of heaven are getting worse. Your carelessness concerning spiritual things is getting worse. We've got to face it. We're told this morning to continue in the things which you've learned. All the children have learned their catechism, their scripture verses. They've been taught the stories of the Bible. My friend, listen, as the generation grows up, instead of getting better, oftentimes the situation's worse. Am I speaking to young people, and your life is just like that? It's just like that. Could I exhort you to come back to the foundation of godly truth? Could we point you back to the cross, to Calvary, Point your way to yonder hill where stood an old rugged cross, where you'll behold God's Lamb and see where he laid on him the iniquity of us all. I'm glad we can start again. You'll notice it's getting worse and worse. Do we not agree the world is getting worse? Our land is getting worse. Spiritual condition of our people, is that getting worse or better? Perhaps you can use the spiritual barometer for yourself. It says here, deceived and being deceived. It literally means leading astray and being led astray. Leading astray. You can't lead others astray without first of all going astray yourself. And that's what has happened in the ecumenical movement. Ministers of the churches have gone astray, and therefore they are leading others astray. Deceiving and being deceived. We have listened, I'm sure, to many pronouncements on the part of government, and they will speak of economic improvement, and they will speak of improving the environment, and they will speak of coming out of the recession, and all these things are spoken of as the way forward and as an improvement. But oftentimes these are only words to cover up the reality of the situation, whereas the real situation is that there is no improvement at all, but rather it's getting worse all the time. You see, words deceive, and people are being deceived, and people are being led astray. Is that not what's happening in the religious world today? People are being deceived. In religious matters, men are changing by going back to the dark and damnable doctrines of the Dark Ages, the doctrines of popery, the doctrines of Romanism, the doctrines of pre-Reformation days. And that's called progress. That's called advancement. And what they're doing, they're blaspheming God by saying they're led by the Holy Spirit to go that road. And they say they're led by God's Word and God's Spirit on a journey back to the fold of anti-Christianity. And they say it's the Spirit of God that's leading them. Friend, that's blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. And God will judge such blasphemy. This is what the Bible says, believing the lie. They're believing the lie and rejecting God's truth. If you turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 9. It speaks of him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Verse 11, and for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. God will send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. Friend, it's happening right across our land today. In the verse 14 of our text again, we're told, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of." Timothy was to continue on in the direction and path that he was presently on. He wasn't to deviate from it. There were no bends or turnoffs, no exits on this road. You see, our Savior's unchanging. Hebrews 13 and 8, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I believe that belief in this unchanging Christ and trust in this unchanging Christ is the mark of a true disciple of Jesus Christ. The man who continues in the things he has learned, in the things which he has been assured of and instructed in, that's a mark of a true disciple. And there's so much change today, and people are changing. One begins to wonder, do they really bear the mark of a true disciple or not? In John 8, verse 31, we read, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed." And in 1 John 2, verse 19, we read, "They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us." In these days of change, we need to remember the importance of continuing in the faith. Timothy, though he was now a man, had no reason to change his belief from the days of his childhood. Look at verse 15, "That from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures." Timothy, you're a man now. You were taught the Scriptures as a child. You were catechized. You learned the Psalms. You learned the Scriptures. You heard the Bible stories. You were told the truth, Timothy. Now you're a grown man. Continue in the things which you were taught. That which he was taught as a child was still true in the days of his manhood. God's truth doesn't change. No change, Jehovah knows. Glory to his name. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. Those of us who have the Scriptures and the Word of God before us and who learn it need not fear being deceived. It's oftentimes the unlearned and the ignorant that are deceived. And while you're walking in the light of God's truth, friend, there's no danger of being deceived. God will not allow it. If you're determined to go through with God, your mind is fixed on Jehovah, your eyes are upon the Savior, you're looking to the Christ of Calvary, listen, my friend, it's impossible to be deceived. For God will not allow it to happen. If we are determined to continue in the way, God will not let it happen. And there's no danger of being deceived, but there is a danger when we remove ourselves from the path, when we take our eyes off the Lord and our hearts of Christ. My friend, it's so easy to be deceived. Satan is the arch deceiver, and Satan is the worker of darkness, and he works in darkness. Satan can't work in the light. You see, men love darkness because their deeds are evil, and they will not come to the light that their deeds might be made manifest. Satan works in the dark. And the man and the woman who's in the dark concerning the ecumenical movement, Satan will work in his heart. The man or the woman who's in the dark concerning the end time deception, that man will be deceived. And therefore, It's important that men are warned, that men are drawn to the truth, and men see the truth as it is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us stick close to the Lord this morning. Let us stick close to the Scriptures. Let us stick by the Word of God, and you'll be assured of avoiding the pitfalls and the snares of the devil. I'm convinced of that truth today, that no man or woman will be led or deceived and ensnared by the devil, who's trusting in God, going by his word, and following wholly his master. For that to happen would be a contradiction of all that God has ever said, and would be a failure on the part of Jehovah. God forbid, it could never happen. But my friend, if it did, then God would have to withdraw his word and reverse his truth. Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. Let us continue. In Proverbs 24 and verse 21, God's people exhorted, meddle not with them that are given to change. Meddle not with them that are given to change. Oh, today, through the ecumenical movement, they would advocate to change the Bible, tell us to throw away the authorized version of the Scriptures. Let's put away the King James Version. It's too archaic in its language. It's difficult to read. There's a far better translation than New International Version, for example, which is so popular today. Everybody's buying it. You know, the devil would just love us to abandon the old Scriptures, to bring in the new translations, and to sidetrack us, and to cause our minds to deviate from the path of truth. The ecumenical movement want us to move away from the old standards of the church, want us to break with the Westminster Confession of Faith, which states that the Pope is the Antichrist, would want us to move away from these old confessions, these old, well-worn and well-tried paths, which have stood the test for ages, and they're bringing in something new all the time. Meddle not with them that are given to change, says the Bible, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of. Then you'll know the blessing of the Lord in your heart. The Lord Jesus Christ is the unchanging one. Let me say this to you who are not saved this morning. He's the unchanging refuge of sinners. There's no other way. As it was preached at the beginning of this movement for God, Christ is the only way. He's still the only way. There's no other refuge. Man may introduce his social gospel. Man may introduce his gospel in the hope of reaching heaven by building his Babel here on earth. But my friend, it's sure to fail. It's a sham, and it will not succeed. There's only one way to God, and that's through Christ. There's only one mediator between God and man, the Lord Jesus. And there's only one way of salvation. It's the way of the cross. And if you miss it, you'll be lost. Paul said, writing to the church at Corinth, we preach Christ crucified. He said again, we desire to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And my friend, that's still the gospel. Whatever changes men may seek, whatever changes men may bring about, he cannot change the gospel. It's fixed in heaven, and it's fixed forever. Oh, foolish men today, going after false gods and false gospels. Would that God would send revival, and may God keep even our own people continuing in the things which they have learned and in the things which they have been assured of. Thank God, the message of the gospel never changes. And we ask you this morning, do you know Christ? Oh yes, we've been dealing with some of the changes taking place and warning against them. We've been exhorting that you should continue in the things that you have learned and been assured of. Think of this word continue and continue therein. But my friend, in closing, let me ask you, are you saved? Do you know Christ today? Have you been to Calvary for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of Christ? Are you ready for the Savior's coming? Or are you going to go on being deceived and getting worse in your sin? And one day, having rejected Christ finally, be plunged into an endless hell where there's no Christ, no gospel, no love, no opportunity, no grace, no salvation. But the wail will be as you wail in eternity, lost, lost, lost through a long eternity. I'm glad there's life for a look at Christ. I'm glad there's a Savior, and he's here today. And this same Jesus who saved the chief of sinners on the Damascus Road, who saved so many of us in this building, can save you too, can change your life and bring about the greatest change, the passing from death unto life. The passing from the power of Satan unto God. The passing from darkness into light. Friend, you can have it today. By faith in the Lord Jesus. Let us bow together as we pray.